Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
All right, and welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. We are kicking off season 2 of the show, and from listeners' feedback, you wanted more questions and more ways to turn your restaurant into the kick-ass establishment that you know it can be. So this season will be a mix of expert interviews and some deep dives into topics that you requested. And remember that you can always email me topics or questions at donald@therestaurantcoach.com. So let me introduce today's guest. Now, I am honored to have on season 2, Bruce Irving, the man, the myth, the legend from Smart Pizza Marketing on show. Welcome, Bruce.
Thanks, Donald. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be on season 2 for the Restaurant Coach Podcast.
I know. This is exciting, huh? So yeah, for those listeners who didn't listen to season 1, because you were on air a couple of times, why don't you give people a little bit of background about yourself and how you got started?
So I was in the restaurant space since I was 15 or 16 years old, probably like many people listening to the podcast. I drifted towards the pizza industry, started to work with a company in Boston called Pizzeria Regina, which I'm sure many people are familiar with. It's very popular here in the Northeast. Worked for them making pizza. Oh, yeah. Then I moved, found my friend and future business partner, worked with him in a location. We opened a second location. Then I got into the marketing, the podcast, and now we do marketing for restaurants, pizzerias mostly, but we do have some other restaurant clients, and we just help them figure out what's working today. And we do a lot of digital marketing, and then we have the podcast over at smartpizzamarketing.com, and we do a live show, the podcast, all that good stuff.
Very nice. Yeah, if you haven't tuned into the Smart Pizza Marketing podcast, we'll make sure there's a link for you at the end of the show in the notes on the show. You can definitely get into that. So for season 2, what I decided I want to do is, you know, again, I had a bunch of people writing questions that they thought they would like to hear answers to. So I call them the Dirty Dozen. So are you ready for the Dirty Dozen, Bruce?
Yes.
All right. So question number 1 is, what is your one word or quote that you aim to live by?
I always say this quote. Everything is figure outable. And I always say that because everything that you try to do is everything is figure outable. There's always a way to figure it out. If you have to ask somebody or hire somebody or read about it, or especially in the day and age we live in with the technology we have available to us with Google and YouTube and podcasts and books. I mean, it's so easy to get information. So there's nothing that you're trying to figure out in your business that isn't figure outable.
That's true. That is honestly the truth. Yeah, my favorite one, of course, you probably know, is the one from Mario Andretti. If everything seems under control, you're just not going fast enough.
That is true as well.
And that's true. That's a good one for the restaurant industry. All right, 2. What is one thing that you think restaurants can do today to improve their business?
I think ask questions of other people who are successful in your space and mm-hmm. to network with other folks. I think networking with other people, you know, 10 or 15 years ago was not as popular as it is today with mastermind groups and the internet. You know, we always, especially in the pizza space, there was always that I don't want to give away my secrets. But you know what? Ultimately, there's not too many secrets. It's really just hard work and effort and consistency that makes a business successful. There's not too many secrets. So I'd say put that aside. Network with other people. If you're looking to do something and you have or see someone else who's already done it, reach out to them, email them, ask them a question, go to Twitter, go to Instagram, go on these platforms that make communication nowadays super easy and ask. And don't assume that they're going to say no, right? You never know unless you ask. So if you want to be improve your business, stay curious, ask questions, and ask those questions to the right people.
You know what you're talking about. It sounds like you're really recommending a mastermind group.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that, but I'm very into mastermind groups, and I believe in them a lot. I think they're a great place for people to be able to hang out with like-minded people, ask questions when you need help. You know, sometimes you don't always need help when someone's available to give you help. But if you have a private Facebook group or you have a couple calls a month and you can, and you know that there's an opportunity in a week to talk to other people who are doing similar things to you. And if you're trying to figure out something, back to my everything is figure outable, I'm sure there's somebody else who is trying to do that same exact thing that can help you move along and become successful at whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
That is true. Gotta get your ask on, right?
That's right. You have to ask. Like, I, you know what? I, when I started my podcast, I always thought people would say no. I thought there would be a lot of no's. You know, when I was doing the podcast or when I first started, it was 3 years ago. And I thought I was going to email 10 people and 9 people would say no. And I would get lucky and someone would say yes. And it was the complete opposite. You ask 10 people to be on your show. 9 people will say yes. 1 person says no. And then I've come to realize over time that that one person isn't a jerk. They're just really nervous and they don't want to talk on camera or on a microphone.
That's true. It is true. It, some people just aren't comfortable talking.
They're not like you and I. Yeah, you're right. They're not. So I thought in the beginning, I thought, you know what? These people are just rude, but they're not. They're just not comfortable. And that's okay too.
That's okay. Yeah. Everybody's got their thing. All right. 3, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life this past year?
I'd say consistency.
Consistency
with my schedule, consistency with my work, consistency with what I want to accomplish, writing down my goals every morning. I have this little book and it's next to me right now. And every morning before my day starts, I write down the 3 things I'm grateful for, the 3 to 5 things I want to accomplish this month, and the 3 to 5 big goals I want to accomplish this year. And I do that every morning consistently. And I've been doing that for the last year. And subconsciously, there's just something about writing those things down that makes you take the actions you need to take on a daily basis when you start your morning that way, at least for me. So being consistent with that, writing down the things I'm grateful for, starting my day with gratitude, and knowing what I'm working for every day because I write it down every morning helps me, you know, take the actions that I need to take and maybe say no to the things that are just distractions that aren't going to really get me to my goal. And they don't have to always be business goals. Some of my goals are family goals. Some of my goals are personal goals. So whatever it is you want to accomplish over the month, over the year, write it down every morning and be consistent with that. And without even really doing much else, you'll see your actions subconsciously following those goals that you've written down every morning throughout the course of the day and the week.
That is so true. Yeah. You know, Grant Cardone recommends that. He has his 10X planner, and that's part of his system is you write down your goals first thing in the morning, and then at night too. He has you do it at night also before you go to bed. So again, your subconscious is working and moving you in that direction of your goals. So
yeah, I'm not that successful. So I haven't done it at night, but I do it in the morning. I always thought I'm like, you know, I should do it at night too, but then I get tired and the kids distract me a little bit. So I know I can do it every morning. So I just that's another thing. Knowing what you can do and what you can't do is really important, right? I started to do that at night and then I would do it a couple times and then I wouldn't. And I realized that I was starting to feel like I was like missing out on something or not doing something. So I'm like, you know what? It's hard for me to do it at night. I'm not going to do it. It's okay. I'll do it every morning. Let's see how it goes. And you know what? I just do it every morning and it's working out for me.
Awesome. All right. 4, what is one book or audio book that you recommend?
I would say there's an audio book. Now, you could, there's a regular book too, but Walt Disney, How to Be Like Walt. And Walt Disney to me is an amazing entrepreneur. And I think that if you follow his story, even if you like the Disney company or you don't have to like Disney World or Disneyland, it has nothing to do with that. But if you follow his journey of how he started, he literally started with zero, moved to LA from Missouri. And started to do something that he really, really wanted to do and believed in it with all his heart. And until he opened Disneyland, he always struggled with money because he was doing what he loved and money wasn't the factor that he was chasing. He was chasing his dream of becoming the best illustrator and the best storyteller that ever lived. And if you follow his journey of how he kept going with every setback that he ever had, or when he wanted to do the first animated movie, people thought he was crazy. Like, you're going to do a full length animated movie. Nobody's going to watch that. It ended up being the most successful movie of the time. And then he wanted to open Disneyland. People were like, you're going to open a theme park where people are going to come and ride rides. And it ended up being the biggest theme park of all time. And now you look at the Disney company, right, the way they run, the way they hire, the way they train, their culture. Like, Disney's one of the only companies that you can think of that people actually want to go work for. And that journey through that book is something that can inspire some folks, I think.
Oh, very cool.
That's not a business one. Everybody says business one, so yeah.
You know, people always say, you know, life balance. To me, there's no real such thing as real life balance. It's just life. You just got to live it.
I agree with you 100%. Like, I love what I do now, so I'm always working. But, I mean, I do set aside time for my family, and we do a lot of things. We go on a lot of trips. But when you enjoy what you're doing, it's just your day, right? There's no work and off work. It's just I wake up, I work, and it's not – I don't call it work. I just do what I do and what I like to do.
Exactly. All right, number five. Who is your biggest influence?
You know what? I'm going to say, obviously, my wife has been a big influence on me and a supporter in my life. But in business, I would say my brother-in-law really influenced me a lot. When I met him, he wasn't my brother-in-law at the time. I was 18 years old. I didn't go to college, so my education level isn't super high. And he was a hard worker. He was 10 years older than me. He was 28 at the time. And he was a successful businessman already owned his own pizzeria or restaurant for 10 years at 28. He owned the building of the pizzeria that I got a job at. So he was a huge influence to me, being like, you know what? You don't have to go to college. I mean, college is great, but not everybody has the opportunity to go there. And sometimes college isn't for everybody. And you can be successful as long as you work hard, put in the effort, know what you want to do, and follow the steps that are necessary. You can do anything you want to do. And he really, not only did he tell me that, but he showed it to me that it was possible. And then he helped me along the way. So he was a pretty big influence in my life when I was a teenager.
That's awesome. Wow. So number six, who do you think, let me rephrase that. What do you think is the most common reason restaurants fail?
Complacency. Exactly. I think that restaurants that are successful now and the ones that take it for granted, or they're like, hey, we've always done it this way and we're successful and we're busy. We don't need to do Facebook, or we don't need to do a culture training, or we don't need to worry about millennials, or we don't need to change our menu. It's been the same menu forever. You may be the one out of 100 places that can get away with that. But the 99 other folks, if you're complacent and you're not trying to get better every day or see what's coming technology-wise or improve your business or improve your training or improve your technology, it's eventually going to catch up to you. You may not see it overnight, but there's going to be a time 5 years from now, you're going to look back and be like, damn, why didn't I do that? How did I not see that coming? Like, just like Borders Books in Blockbuster, right? If they changed with the time, there wouldn't be Netflix and there wouldn't be Amazon. You know, they had the market share. That's the truth. They got complacent.
Complacency will kill your business faster than anything. And you mentioned like the millennials. I'm gonna do my little millennial rant. We have so many misconceptions and myths about the millennials. You know, here's one I kind of realized I had, was that when I think about millennials, I think millennials are kids.
Right.
You know? But they're hitting their 40s now, so they're not kids anymore.
I think of millennial as, I think of millennial, to me, millennial is like behavior-based, not necessarily age-based. Like, what do people do? And I think of millennials in that regard. Like, how do they order? How do they communicate? What do they watch? Right. Where do they go? That's what I think you're a millennial. Like I don't even know what, if I'm probably out of the millennial age. Barely, but I'm kind of a millennial at some part of my life, like work and technology wise, I'm a millennial. But then, like when I'm home with my kids, I'm very much an old man.
There's nothing wrong with that,
right? Like I like to watch TV and hang out, sit outside on the porch. Like I'm an old man when I'm home, but that's fine. So I'm half a millennial.
You're half a millennial. You're You're a kind of an ex millennial.
I'm a Nile.
Like an X-Men kind of. You're a Nile. I'm in denial. I'm in denial. About which generation I'm in, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm old school. I'm old. I'm an old man. I'm on that cusp between, you know, Gen Xer and Baby Boomer, so we won't go there.
Nah, we'll stay away from that one.
All right, we'll stay away from that one for everyone's sake. All right, number 7. What is your favorite curse word? You can go ahead and say it. This is an adult show.
I'd say my favorite curse word is horseshit. Right? It's like the one that I use to call people out on. Like, that's horseshit. Like, you tell me Facebook.
You know, I haven't heard that one forever.
Yeah, I like saying that. I just think it's a funny word to say. Like, it kind of gets people's attention. It's a little different, and you can use it in so many different ways. It's probably not the word I use the most, you know, but it's my favorite one.
What's the word you use the most?
Probably like the F word or shit, because something breaks, you know, and like somebody complained about, one of our clients complained about something, or one of our managers had a problem or did the wrong thing, or the computer's not working or the internet's not working. It's probably one of those two words.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the F one.
I don't know why I can't say it on audio, but I say it when no one's around.
You can say it on audio.
It's just something I feel weird saying it on audio.
See, that says something right there.
That's my old man coming out.
That's a old, yeah. I'm not gonna swear in front of the kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
That's it. Gotta set an example for the kids. I'm not gonna swear in front of the children. All right, number 8. What's another job or career you thought about getting into? If you didn't do what you did now, what was another career that you thought about? And you can think about back when you were a kid.
Yeah, see, when I was a kid, I always was fascinated with cooking. So I always knew I would work in some sort of restaurant in some sort of fashion. Schooling wasn't my avenue. I knew I wasn't going to go to college. I don't enjoy reading. I don't enjoy sitting down that much and doing the same thing over and over again. I get bored really easily. So I knew I loved to cook. I remember cooking with my grandmother when I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I would love to do that. Or if my grandfather was outside cooking on the grill, I would be right next to him. So I knew cooking was in my future. That being said, I almost got into real estate probably about 10 years ago because I love marketing. So to me, marketing is what gets people to notice you. So whatever industry you're in, marketing kind of can work for that. So my wife's in real estate. And we do marketing for her. So marketing, when it comes to communicating with the technology and the tools we have today, is kind of the same. You just have to have the right message, the right consumer. So I almost got into real estate about 10 years ago before this whole marketing for restaurants and pizzeria thing. But I was still marketing. It was just real estate was going to be the thing that we sold rather than the marketing itself.
That is awesome. I'll tell you something. So when I was a little kid, I used to want to be, I don't know, and this might be dating myself again. There used to be a show, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And there was a guy, Marlon Perkins, and he would talk about animals. I used to want to be a zoologist.
That's awesome.
I wanted to run a zoo when I was a kid.
My daughter is actually, that's pretty cool. My daughter is actually going to school for marine biology.
No way.
Yeah, so that's what she wants to do. She wants to work with animals and save the world.
That's really cool. All right, number 9. Room, desk, and car. Which one do you clean first?
I'm going to say my desk, only because my wife cleans my room, so that's easy for me. And I don't really drive that much. I kind of just sit in the office or I'm on a plane. Other than that, like, I don't go in my car too much, so my car never really gets that dirty. But I can't work if my desk is not neat. So I have to have my notebook in a certain spot. I have a little OCD when it comes to my desk. My coffee mug, my camera, my mouse, my laptop, my microphone. It's all going to be in the same spot every day. Otherwise, I can't get going. So I'm going to say my desk.
You do have a little OCD, I think.
I definitely do. Wash my hands every 10 minutes. It. Yeah.
Nice. That's good. All right, number 10. What are you not very good at?
Pretty much everything except for marketing.
Come on.
I'm not good at reading. I'm not good at paying attention. I'm not good at listening that much. I'm not good at there's a lot. Like, that list is pretty long.
The list is pretty long.
Yeah. So, but I am pretty good at sports. I do like sports, and I am good at marketing. So, you know, I coach all my kids.
So no, you're great at marketing.
Yeah, and then marketing I enjoy doing. So those are the kind of things that I'm good at. Everything else, fixing the house, doing yard work, all that stuff I really stink at.
Yeah, I'm terrible at fixing things. I have, you know, mechanically inclined is not me. I always make the joke that I always have to ask that question when I pick up a hammer, which end do you use to drive the nail into the wall? Because I'm really, like, I don't know.
My wife calls me a big gorilla. She says, please don't touch anything because you don't really make it better. You just make it worse.
Well, you're a big guy. I mean, I mentioned before, you're bigger than I thought, taller than I thought.
Yeah, everybody says that to me. It's because I sit down in front of the computer camera all the time. Nobody really knows how tall I am until you meet me in person.
That's true. When you do like the podcast or you do your Facebook Live stuff, you don't really, you know, you don't really get a judge of how tall people are.
No, and I point the camera really high. See, I want to feel bigger in person, so I point the camera really high at me, so it looks like I'm really small. Up? Yeah.
Is that the trick? Is that how you do it? You have to angle the camera the right way.
It's working so far because people always say I'm much taller in person, and I'm like, yes, it's working.
No one's ever said that to me. No one said you're taller than I thought.
That's because you stand up in your videos, so you can kind of see how tall you are.
That's true. I do stand up in my videos. That might be a good point. Maybe I should sit down so people will start thinking that I'm not as tall as I am.
You're going to walk into your next restaurant consultation, and they're going to take you seriously. Like, wow, he's much bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah, he's a lot taller. I thought he was only like 5'2".
I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah, I'm going to listen. He's a lot taller than I thought. Number 11. Do you make your bed in the morning?
I don't, but I did. And I think making your bed in the morning is very important. And I tell my kids every morning to not leave the house for school until they make their beds. Only because I feel like it sets your day up. Like, if you get up out of bed, and you don't have to make it up right away, but before I get going, like, I might have my cup of coffee first and, you know, catch up on some things. But before I take a shower in the morning, get ready for work or my day, my bed is made. And my kids, I try to get them to do the same thing. Before you go to school, make sure your bed is made. I feel like it just sets your day up for, it makes you feel better, right? When you leave and everything's organized and ready to go. And then when you come home, my kids come home from school, they get to go in their room. It's clean. It's organized. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it makes me feel better.
Yeah, I don't know where I started the habit. I don't know if it was from, you know, my father making me, but I have to make my bed. As soon as I get out of my bed, I have to make the bed right then. I mean, I can't even just, like, I can't leave it. You know, I couldn't, like, take a shower with the bed unmade. I have to, like, as soon as I get out of bed, I have to make the bed right then. It's like the weirdest thing.
Sounds like you have free OCD.
I do have some OCD. I have, I'm like you, I have certain places where things have to be and certain angles things have to be. I'm really bad in restaurants. If I'm sitting there, you know, in a restaurant and going to meet a client and I'm sitting there at the table and, like, if I notice, like, the fork or knife on the table next to me is, like, a little crooked, I'll, like, lean over and I'll move it. So it's, like, straight. Salt and pepper shakers have to be a certain way. I'm weird like that. Yeah.
That's pretty good, though. Attention to detail is important.
Attention to detail. I always say that's one of the traits I think that a lot of restaurant owners need to develop a little. I call it OAD, obsessive attention to detail. You want to be kind of obsessed about it.
You know what?
You sweat that. Well, here's my thing.
Yeah.
If you sweat the little things, the big things take care of themselves.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I've talked to a lot of people in the most successful business-wise, I don't know them personally, but the most people successful business-wise pay attention to the small details.
Mm-hmm. You got to. You know, it's like when you're marketing, you know, to me, I mean, everything plays to everything. So, like, the font, you know, the color scheme, you know, especially for branding, You know, it has to be consistent. It has to have a, you know, even if fonts, you know, say so much to me. I'm obsessed about fonts. I love fonts.
Yeah, I have to say, you are phenomenal when it comes to like changing quick, moving, making quick moves on your website or on your marketing. Mm-hmm. And the amount of attention to detail that you pay to your website in the design and the aesthetic is amazing. So I have to give you kudos on that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm more of the, you know, fail fast, you know,
yeah,
throw it out there, you know, oh, it's not working. Okay. Let's tweak it. All right. Throw it out there. Okay. All right. Let's tweak it. I have to say, this last week, I'm pretty happy with the website finally. Cause I got it kind of tweaked in pretty tight to where I want it. And of course, you know, just like anything, like with any kind of marketing, you throw it out there, you see what gets responses, you make adjustments, you throw it out there, see what gets responses, you just keep fine-tuning it, and, you know, you're happy with it for a while, and it's going to get some good results for a while, and then you're going to have to tweak it again. That's just, again, you know, complacency in anything, you know, restaurants, any kind of business. When you get complacent, you basically, it's almost like putting your foot on the brake, and you're just letting your competition pass you.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
All right, and then the last one here. What is your best tip for getting the most from your day?
I'd say organizing your morning, scheduling. So not only do you do what you're grateful for every morning, because that's going to put you in a good mindset of realizing that the small shit that happens to you on a daily basis isn't that big a deal. As long as your family's healthy, you're healthy, you're working towards your goals. But writing down what you want to do every morning, and then this is something that I've done the last year too, is sticking to my calendar. If it's not on my calendar, it's not happening in my life.
That's it.
You know, I have to write it down every day. If it's an interview, if it's a client call, if it's a work project that I have to get done, it has to be on my calendar. And if you ask me a question for today and I don't have room on my calendar, unfortunately, I have to say no. And I have to stick to my calendar. But I would say stick to your calendar.
Yep. That is the biggest thing. You have people today. We have the most amazing personal assistant in the world with us all the time. It's our smartphones, and people just don't use that thing. I tell my clients all the time, use your smartphone. You know, I have an iPhone. So I said, you know, make Siri, you know, your personal assistant. Tell her, hey, Siri, when I'm at, you know, when I'm driving, when I'm going to Target, remind me to get this. When I'm at the restaurant, remind me this. When I'm at home, remind me this. You know, she has geotags in there. In fact, she's actually just. I just said her name and now she's the phone's like lighting up like a Christmas light over right. here.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I don't use Siri that much. I always forget she's there, but you're right. I should probably use Siri a little bit more, but I do use my phone and I like old fashioned pen and paper. I like to write stuff down. I don't know why. I do my gratitude on a piece of paper and a pen and a little notebook. And I also write down as much as I have the calendar and I use that as my reference point for my calendar moving forward. I write down what I got to get done for the day on a notebook. And every single day I do that. It's the 4 or 5 projects I need to get done today, or 4 or 5 calls or emails or whatever it is I'm working on. I write it down on a piece of paper physically.
Yeah. That's that. That is that, that Gen X in you.
Yeah. That's the old man in me. You can say it.
Gen X. Because, you know, if you could see right now, I have a notepad right next to me and I'm writing notes as we're talking. On a paper and pen. I have a pen in my hand and I'm taking notes with my writing hand.
I have the same thing. Time. 11 a.m. interview with Donald Burns, restaurant coach.
There you go. Well, I just want to say thanks, Bruce, for taking time to go through the Dirty Dozen. And I'm going to have links added to the post for anyone interested in contacting Bruce for ways to take your marketing to the next level. Bruce, how can people contact you? What's the best way?
I'd say just go to the website, smartpizzamarketing.com.
Smartpizzamarketing.com. And if you haven't checked out his podcast, you got to do that. He's, how many, man, you have so many episodes. How many episodes do you have now?
I think it's like 180.
That's a lot. That's good stuff.
Yeah, we've been doing one a week for 3.5 years.
Yeah,
that's not even including our live consistency, show. Right? So that's just the podcast. If you include our live shows, we're probably up over 250.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Consistency.
So in closing, yeah, that's it. You got to be consistent. So in closing, you know, getting the restaurant and the life you want is not kind of a far-fetched dream. There's power in taking action. Don't put off doing something that you know you should be doing just because you kind of hope things will get better. I remember that hope is not a strategy. Now, if you're looking for more tools to take your restaurant to the next level, please go by and stop by and check out the Restaurant Coach website. And while you're there, you can sign up for my free 4-part course called the Restaurant Success Series. Yes, you heard that right. It's free because I really want to help you get the restaurant that you want. The course shows you the 4 keys it takes to run a successful restaurant. And if you want more intense results, then sign up for my restaurant mastermind group or email me about a customized restaurant coaching program for your restaurant. You can stop by therestaurantcoach.com today. And if you've not picked up a copy of my book, Your Restaurant Sucks, Embrace the Suck, Unleash Your Restaurant, Become Outstanding on Amazon, I don't know what you're waiting for because it's there. So all you have to do is head over to Amazon, and there's a little known deal that if you pick up the paperback copy, you get the Kindle version for free. And with that, we are going to sign up.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.donaldburns.net or download episodes at iTunes and Stitcher Radio.